Greetings, everybody. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio and East City Stargate. We're on Rumble, YouTube, X, everything. So, and we don't post a lot on YouTube. So, really, Rumble's the best, or X, or because we're still getting censored there. So, we have to be really careful what we talk about. And almost everything I talk about, it does not meet their community standards. So anyway. But we're going to cover Bigfoot tonight, but it's one of my favorite topics. But before that, we're going to do the news. There's just so much going on. I wasn't going to do it, but the higher beings came in and said, no, the news is important. So anyway, so we have been under attack. You know, my computer was hacked by a quantum computer, looks like, slicing through like butter all basic virtual shields and virus detection. So tonight's show, actually, it's a pre-record. But we're going to be kind of winging it, you know, with my phone, and that's it, you know, right now. But so anyway, you know, things are getting expensive lately because keep going through computers. It just they don't just hack it. They destroy it, you know. So anyway, it's getting a little expensive and a little dangerous to one's health and freedom to keep this show going. So anyway. There was a massive power outage in Spain, Portugal, and other parts of France, so it looks like they're meeting their net zero Green New Deal agenda with zero energy, you know, so that's not working out too well. And if you want to know why there's so much resistance to ending the Ukrainian war, let's look at the kickbacks. Now, according to the new improved FBI, Cash Patel and Dan Bongino are, they're getting round-the-clock protection right now, trying to clean up the mess. All the weaponized agencies and everything. Anyway, these are the numbers coming in. Joe Biden received $92 million in kickbacks. Mitch McConnell, $89 million. Pelosi, $86 million. Schumer, $66 million. Romney, $71 million. Schiff, $62 million. Cheney, $77 million. Conlon, $62 million. Crenshaw, $20 million. And McCarthy, $42 million. So now you know, war is a racket, and it's all about, it's all about the kickbacks. And that's why they want to keep this war going, because, you know, it's a racket. Anyway, another thing, Trump is getting 92% negative coverage by the lamestream media. And there's over 1,500 newspapers, 1,100 magazines, 9,000 radio shows, 2,400 publishers, all owned by three corporations. And so this is the biggest social engineering program on the planet. So despite this, Trump's holding his own. He's holding their feet to the fire, and he's standing tall, exposing them face to face for their lies, deceptions, and agendas. And so I really have a hard time with liars. That's one of my issues. I just, you know, people lie to me, and it's kind of like, okay, you know, you kind of lose all credibility after that. So anyway, I just changed the channel immediately, you know, like billions of others. And that's why they're just in free fall right now. You know, that's people that see through the social engineering now are just gone. It's crazy. You know, if Trump deported Godzilla, you know, they would, all Democrats would be over in Japan saying, bring him back. He didn't get a trial. You know, he destroyed all of our major cities, but he's a nice guy. He's just a family man. But anyway, Klaus Schwab stepped down from the WEF. His daughter and insiders are spilling the beans concerning the billionaire eugenicists, depopulation programs, genocide, using vaccines, chemtrails, poisoning our food and water. And you have to ask yourself, when was the last time you were bitten by a cobra, a Gila monster, or poisonous snail? You know, why are there venoms, you know, heavy metals, nanotech, graphene showing up everywhere in people's blood and stool samples? And so listen to Dr. Artis. He's really on the front lines on this, the frontline doctors, Dr. McCullough. And they also have the remedies to this, to get this stuff out of your system. So it's pretty crazy. Virginia Giuffre, I don't know if I'm saying that right. She's a star witness in the Epstein case, was suicided or arconcided. And she released her Dead Man Switch, exposing royals, politicians, CEOs, top media moguls, exposing the entire infrastructure with documents, videos, bank records, and shielding by intelligence agencies, those weaponized agencies we have to deal with. So it looks like Pam Bondi was given the whole enchilada. So it's there, it's all out there. So it's going to go down here pretty quick. There's some crazy news going on here. The sun dropped a huge chunk off it. It just fell off the side. I've never seen anything like it. And just fell straight down. It didn't blast out, it just fell off and went. And then a massive object flew between it and the SOHO satellite and the flares, So the flares and CMEs and coronal holes, they're continuing to escalate. So it's going to get crazy. So I'll speak more on that later, but every week the Pleiadians have been folding time to help get us through these challenging times. And so we're skipping World War III, and the next time fold will be on May 3rd, and that's a show in itself, but I really want to get to our guests. But there's some intense things, multidimensional experiences happening, and people are having trouble. They feel like they're in a different world, their body's freaking out, trying to adjust to new energies. And again, I've talked a lot about that, but I want to get to our guest. And so we've got James Schupke, and his family owns and operates Margie's Outdoor Store, a brick and mortar adventure shop in Bingham, Washington, which is world famous for its paranormal reporting program. In less than 4 years, the store has received more than 400 reports of anomalous phenomena in the Columbia River Gorge area. This includes UFO, UAP encounters, Sasquatch sightings, portal activity, ghost experiences, and more than 130 reports of mysterious and enormous Black Panther-like creatures. I've seen that one actually too. Known as the Klickitat Ape Cat. There's another one too that's like a cross between a raccoon and a bobcat or something. I don't know, that's running around. Anyway, James attributes the success to the reporting program to his dedication to making his store a safe place for ordinary people to talk about their extraordinary experiences. He theorizes that the high degree of unusual activity in the gorge may be linked to its extremely unique electromagnetic environment and the area's history of secret government programs. Yeah. So, when possible, James conducts follow-up investigations of the phenomenon reported at his store. So, during those investigations, he's experienced numerous strange phenomena firsthand. James is a decorated U.S. Army infantry veteran, a former wildlife firefighter, and nationally certified search and rescue EMT. Perfect qualifications for that job. So anyway, his website is Margie's Outdoor Store. We'll have that on the show. And Margie's Outdoor Store on Facebook, Margie's Outdoor Store on Instagram, and Margie's Outdoor Store on YouTube. So without any further ado, I want to welcome James to the show. Welcome, James. And I know we got a lot to talk about.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I've been looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, I know we've been trying to connect, and we keep getting pulled in different directions. So I think now's the perfect time. But there's so much to talk about. I don't know where to start, but you can probably let's just get right into it and talk about one. I wanted to talk a little bit about that, why all these anomalies are here, and what your researchers has, and then what are some of the things that people have been experiencing or sharing with you.
My wife and I, my mother-in-law, Margie, passed away about 4 years ago. And my wife and I were living up in Seattle at the time. And we decided to leave the city and come to the Gorge, which, as you know, is a stunningly beautiful place, and pick up these family businesses. And it wasn't long before we had to make a format change to what eventually became the outdoor store. And with my adventure background, we sort of focused it on an outdoor adventure store. And on just kind of a lark, I put a Sasquatch in the logo. And right away, folks started coming in and spontaneously telling us these really, to me at the time, which seemed really incredible stories. And they included Sasquatch encounters and UFO encounters. And as I started looking around, I realized that the gorge has so much going on in terms of paranormal activity, what people call paranormal activity. And in fact, your place was one of the sort of proof points for that. That you've had people watching UFOs and UAPs for decades, and people come from all over the world. I was just fascinated by that. And so I decided, it was partially a business move at first, but man, once I got into it, I realized, holy cow, this stuff is the real deal. So I put together what we called a paranormal reporting program. And we put up a big sign in the window that said, file your paranormal reports here. And I had very specific instructions for the employees. I said, anyone who comes in, we are going to treat them with dignity and respect. We are not going to insert what we think that they experienced into their report. We're not going to tell them they're crazy or that they saw something that they didn't see or anything else. We would just take in the data and see where it went. And the reason why I did that is that I know that when you look at the data, if you stigmatize reporting, then people stop reporting at all. And then you're already putting your preconceived notions into what they experienced. And so with that commitment, people started coming in, and I was honestly totally stunned at how many people have come in. We've, like you said, nearly well over 400 reports now, and it's gotten to the point where people recognize me on the street or in a restaurant or in a grocery store, and they'll say, "Hey, James, I've got to tell you about this amazing encounter." And what to me, like one of the hidden gems of the whole experience is the human connection that I'm making with folks. Oftentimes, I might be the second person they've ever told. First person told them they were crazy or they were on drugs or whatever, and they decided never to talk about it. And once we had this sort of safe place where it was a welcoming environment and we would, ask intelligent follow-up questions, we gained the trust of the community. And like I said, the things that I have heard about, so the Gorge is such an amazing place, just in terms of, you've lived here for years, but there's mountain climbing and, there's deserts and rainforests and waterfalls and caves. It's an adventurer's paradise. And then to find out that there are all these, I guess, mysterious or non-recognized phenomenon going on here, to me, it was like I had won the lottery. Really. It's like a, what I love about it, it's a place where all the questions aren't answered and there's still a sense of wonder out here. So it's been amazing, and we can get into the details of some of those things, but I wanted to, yeah, that's sort of how I got to where I'm at.
Great. I know some of the anomalies here, they actually have it on government maps and they call it the Purple Zone. And it goes all around mostly the south and you see the west side of the mountain. There's this huge purple zone. And actually our ranch is in that zone. And it's a zone where it's extreme magnetic anomalies. And it's actually recognized by the government. So I thought that was interesting.
Well, that was one of the, we, like I said, we received the reports and I look for patterns in the data. And, you get one-off reports and like, okay, that's interesting. If it's a credible source, it's a little bit more interesting. But when you see multiple reports of the same thing, that's when I start to take notice and dig a little deeper into it. And, we've had numerous reports of glowing orbs, which are no surprise to you, I'm sure. And before we had even started the program, I had actually taken a picture of one, and I thought, wow, this is not a lens flare. This is not swamp gas or, headlights refracted off of whatever. This was legitimately something that was an anomalous phenomenon. And that was right at the Spring Creek Hatchery, right under Underwood Mountain. And then we received photographs of tic-tac-shaped UFO over Underwood Mountain. And then we heard a report about an individual who was living under Wood Mountain, and they saw two red glowing orbs that descended, and then began descended to ground level, and then began approaching the witness. And he said, like a switch was thrown in my brain, I suddenly became terrified. And then he ran into his house and he got a shotgun. And by the time he came out, the phenomenon was over. And so as I heard that, it reminded me of some research that I had heard about. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, Dr. Michael Persinger up in Laurentide University up in Ontario, Canada, was researching what magnetic fields, how they influence the human brain. He created a helmet that had solenoids on it, and he can manipulate magnetic fields. And he could repeatedly and in a verified way induce paranormal experiences within his subjects. Most often, they reported a sensed presence, like there was something else there with them. A few of his subjects, I think three or four of them, said that they actually had met God while under the influence of these magnetic fields. And then the media started calling it the God Helmet. So if your listeners are interested in hearing more about that, they can look up the God Helmet. And one of the things that he said he was able to do was turn fear on and off like a switch by manipulating magnetic fields around the brain. And that's when a sort of a light bulb went over my head, because that is exactly what people were reporting in the store, that same kind of phenomenon. It turns out that it was recently discovered that we have billions of magnetite crystals in our brains, and they're housed in these structures called magnetosomes. They're sort of like sheath-like structures that stack up these, they're like microscopic magnetite crystals. And they lay alongside brain cells, and most of them in the hippocampus and temporal lobes. And when they encounter unusual magnetic fields, they torque and exert an influence on the brain. And this is how, like, animals are able to navigate over long distances and things like that. You've heard of like birds being able to migrate and stuff like that. And they believe that it's this magnetosense, which there is now, the physical, they under are starting to understand the physical mechanism where this occurs. And so I thought that's really interesting because, as you mentioned, the gorge is one of the most unique electromagnetic environments in the world. When you look at the NOAA-issued navigational maps of the gorge, there are bright pink letters on them warning that your compass readings, your magnetic compass readings, will be off in this area. And like up at places like the Big Lava Bed, which is not too far from you, like compasses are almost useless. And so part of the reason why we have such an unusual electromagnetic environment goes back to the basalt flows. So 17 million years ago, fissures opened in the earth at the Idaho-Washington border and some in southern Oregon too. And they started expunging huge volumes of lava. Over the course of a couple million years, it was so much lava that if you spread it out evenly over the United States, it would bury the lower 48 states in 60 feet of lava. So just enormous quantities of lava. But they estimate over 300 different eruptive events. And when you're driving through the gorge, you can see these layers. And each of those layers represents a different lava flow. Some of those flows ran 300 miles all the way to the Pacific Ocean. Now, as that lava cooled, its magnetic material oriented towards the Earth's north pole at the time. And then it cooled, and then that locked in that magnetic signature. Well, 1,000 years pass, the North Pole wanders. I'm sure you know that in the last 100 years, it's wandered over 700 miles and is accelerating. And so when that next lava flow came through, its magnetic material oriented towards the new North Pole. So when you are driving through the gorge and you see all those, that layer cake of rock, each one of those layers has a unique magnetic signature. And that's part of the reason why we've got such a crazy electromagnetic environment. Then you get the Cascades volcanism and some other forces, and they begin buckling and folding that magnetic material, all those rocks. And then, of course, Mount Adams is also creating a magnetic anomalies through its lava flows. And I think there's close to 200 lava vents around the Mount Adams volcanic environment. So all that put together creates this really unusual environment. And so if you are, a rational, quote unquote, materialistic scientist, you could reasonably say, well, is it that this magnetic environment is creating localized hallucinations in people's brains. Like, just as though you had taken drugs or you were on the influence of some other type of, situation, you're having a hallucination. You're not perceiving reality. You're perceiving something that's wrong, that's not true. Problem is, as you know, we've got tons of video. We've got footprints. We've got hair samples. We've got co-witnessed events. So things where multiple people are witnessing the same thing. And if it was a localized personal hallucination, it wouldn't make sense that the people are having the same exact type of experience. Like, you would think that each brain would be different. And of course, hallucinations don't show up on cameras. Hallucinations don't leave footprints. Hallucinations, all those kind of things. And so, as I, and that's what I love about this is that, I get so many different data points from so many different people from all walks of life. And for me, part of the fun of it is like puzzling it out and like, how does this make sense and how do these things work together? And so I think the analogy that makes sense to me is that imagine that you hop in your car and you've got your car radio and you don't know that you can change the channel and it's always set on country music. And so for all your life and all your family's lives and all your friends' lives, every time they hop in their car, they hear country music and they just assume that's reality. But then if one day someone adjusted your electromagnetic tuner just slightly, you're not hearing country music anymore. You're hearing classical music or rock and roll music. What's I love about this analogy is that those signals are always present in the environment. It's just that the receiver is not properly tuned to hear it. And I think that may be what's happening here. I'm really curious about your thoughts on that because you've been doing this for much longer than I have. And this notion of the individual's receiver wavelength has to match the phenomenon for it to become perceived. What do you think of that? Do you
Yeah,
have any?
my thoughts are way out there because I've had a couple near-death experiences, and what I realize is that we've been socially engineered to think we're a body and a personality. But we're not. We're a multidimensional being, and we're a soul, and that soul is eternal, and it's multidimensional all the way back to the source. And so within each individual is that God spark, that can be activated to the full flame. And when it gets activated, you start experiencing all these other aspects of yourself, all the way back to the source on multiple dimensions and timelines, and it gets really crazy. You will go crazy if you don't have some kind of foundation to understand what's going on. And it's a real blow to your ego too when this happens, because your identity just goes out the door. So me, James, is at one time I was James, born of Wanda and Jones, and that was my identity. And then later on, it's like the same path of I'm not saying I'm a master, but the same path that masters go through. You're born as, your parents are God to you. That's your identity. And then later on, you go, wait a second, I'm a unique soul. I'm here. I have my own unique soul purpose and reason for being. And then after that, you go, wait a second, I'm a spirit, and then you go, there's more to me, more dimensions to me than I'm aware of. And then you actually, when you totally reach, I call it at-one-ment. Some people say atonement or whatever. But when you reach that point, you're one with the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness on all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse. And so there is no you anymore. It's all you. And everything you see is you because, God's omnipresent, and you're connecting to God within you, within your own temple. And I mean, this is kind of hard for people to understand this. And it's a real mind screw if you think you're a
Oh,
body and a personality.
yeah, I really have a deep appreciation for what you're saying, and I agree with you. The notion that there's our higher selves. And we are a physical manifestation that's a mere part of that. And really, you can go through this life and have whatever kinds of dramatic and interesting experiences. But when you find thoughts that bring you relief, that means you're moving closer to alignment with that higher self. And so, as you focus your attention on different thoughts, those thoughts will have an emotional resonance within you, and you can always use that as a very strong compass to find your way through even the most challenging and interesting times.
Yeah, a lot of this too, it's all science-based too, really think about it, because even Einstein said, we live within a world within a world, all the way back to source, and there's many world theories, and then they get into different timelines and different Earths, and multiple Earths happening all spontaneously. But it has a physics background to it. I just experienced
Absolutely.
it firsthand, basically.
That's incredible. What a remarkable life you've lived. I was thinking about it before this interview, and I don't claim to understand everything that you're doing or talking about, but it is clear to me that you have chosen a life path where there weren't maps. And in fact, you had to draw the maps as you were encountering the terrain for the first time. And I don't know that a lot of people appreciate the types of challenges that come with a life like that. They're not the challenges that most people experience. And it's a remarkable accomplishment to walk that path and achieve any level of success. So my hats are off. My hat is off to you. I mean, it's quite an incredible and unusual journey that you've chosen.
We have a saying. We have a saying here: just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, and just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent. So there's always both all sides of the spectrum. There's a dark side, a light side, and then there's a gray area in between on everything. But people try to pigeonhole something like it's all dark, or it's all good, or and there's There are, it's all going on. It's like the UFO phenomenon. People go, well, what is it? Is it time travel? Is it our ancestors returning? Is it German back engineering? Is it our own back engineering flying around up there? Are they Pleiadians, Andromedans, Orion Council of Light, and Arcturians or whatever? And I go, it's all the above. It's not just one thing, and it's all happening. And so discernment's very, very important, and the ability to shield yourself and heal unseen negative influence is a must if you're going to go on these adventures. And I learned the hard way. I had my ass handed to me many, many times in dealing with some things that I was way over my skis on, so
Well, you know,
and
it's
then I've gained the wisdom from that.
Yeah, I wanted to go back to
Oh,
you
go ahead.
talking about, the getting your ego involved in it. And one of the things that I've realized with this program and talking to, hundreds of people is one of the main obstacles to taking someone's unusual experience seriously is the ego. You don't want to look stupid. You don't want to look like you're not you didn't go to school, or you don't understand science, or whatever else. And I've been working to create a space where I don't need to fill in what I don't know with an answer that I think I know. And that's really, I think, why people feel comfortable sharing these unique experiences with me, is because there's allowing for there to be a moment of not knowing what's going on, allowing to not rush into an answer. Oh, like that student that raises their hand and thinks they know exactly what's going on right away. And to have the humility and to be able to put your ego aside, not have to be smart, not have to know what's going on, not worrying about looking like a fool in this moment. And like I said, it's been the most beautiful thing to have these really genuine, authentic interactions with people as they explain these extraordinary experiences. And there are sometimes, I mean, I'll admit, like when someone tells me that they come from, another planet or something like that, like my rational mind puts on the brakes and I have to say, okay, well, if that's true, what questions would I have for this person? Let's let's us I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Okay, so you come from another world. Why are you here? Do you have conscious memories of the time that you were at the other place? And it opens the dialogue for to learn something that you may not know. And like I said, to me, winning the lottery doesn't even begin to convey the emotion of the situation that I found myself in here. To be in this magical place, to be able to talk to people like you and others who have had these extraordinary experiences, and then for whatever was going on within me, to allow those to happen and to be open to them and to see what we don't
Yeah,
know.
good listening. That's I always tell people, I have no problem saying I don't know. There's some things I just don't know. I can probably find out. I have access to levels that I can find out, but I have no, everybody comes in and they think you're this all wise master, you know everything. And I go, well, there's some things I have a clue. It's not been part of my reality or experience. And the other thing is, like, when you get rid of the ego and just become a good listener, like you were saying, this whole treasure trove opens up and you can hear about all people's other experiences and it goes into other dimensions and everything else. And so it is important, to not try to prove anything or be something, just be nothing, which is really powerful. People don't have know how powerful it is. Out of the nothing comes everything. If you can be nothing, there's nobody to defend, nobody to argue with, and you just listen and you hear all these amazing stories, and then you gain the wisdom from their experience as well. And really too, we have a built-in BS meter. We all have that. And if you're really connected to the heart, you can feel when somebody's not being authentic or somebody's, and then people are trying to explain an experience to the best of their ability with the reference points they have on hand. So they may not have the reference points. I like to use the one like in the Bible. So there's this shiny disc that comes out of the firmament. And it has bronze feet like calves, and it has fire and brimstone coming out from underneath it. And when it lands, it sounds like 1,000 rushing rivers. And so today you go, that was a ship. That was an encounter, And this bearded guy comes walking out, and he orders nine of his, was it six or nine? I'm not sure, of his men with their shattering weapons to go destroy all the men, women, and children of Israel. So what can nine men and what kind of weapons did they have to do that? And you look at that nowadays with our technology and things like that. Those are like some kind of laser or sonic blasters or something way beyond our technology. Or well, actually, we have a lot of that technology, but you look at that and you go, that was the origin of the wrathful God. That's where the wrathful God came from. And people have a hard time with that because there was the Old Testament God and the New Testament God. So having that information, I can look at that and go, oh, that must have been the Old Testament guy. And anytime you have a name, you're not talking about the absolute or the omnipresent God. It's a being that might be very technologically advanced and passing himself off as a God, or it could be a very godly being, that became one with God and it's is in service mode and trying to help the civilization evolve. So we had mixed, that was mixed all throughout our history, and that's why we're so confused, because we don't know the real history. And so a lot of people have a schizophrenic God. It's either jealous, wrathful, and genocidal, or it's all loving and all forgiving.
Is
And
the same guy we're talking
if
about?
those are both in one God, he's totally schizophrenic. I'm sorry. But when you know the real history, you can read it, go, yeah, these things happened in the past, but this is what really happened. And is it the absolute God, the omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient God? No, it's not. It was a lesser form, a lesser God. We call them little g gods that
Little G.
interacted with us in the past, And so when you have that understanding, you look at this, you go, okay, now I understand it. And if you don't understand it, you just have to, it's more like superstition. You just have to take it on faith And but you know, applying a little logic, a little critical thinking to it, you start going, wait a second, something else might have happened back there than we were told by our minister, you know, or whatever.
And so we've had this just incredible array of phenomenon reported, and I'm what's one of the fun parts of going onto these shows is talking about some of those things. Of course, we've had scores and scores of Bigfoot sightings, and it was funny because my wife and I, it wasn't long after we moved down here, we were looking at each other like, seems like everyone we've met down here has either seen Bigfoot or knows someone who has, and it's just sort of just part of the culture here. And I found that utterly fascinating. Of course, there are lots of historical sightings. Skamania County, which is the county right next to Klickitat County, was the first governmental body in the world to enact Bigfoot protection legislation way back in 1968. There is a document. It was produced by the Army Corps of Engineers back in 1975. It's called the Washington Environmental Atlas, and you can still find this on the web. I think it got disclosed through a Freedom of Information Act. But on page 53, it goes through basically all of the, the rocks and minerals in Washington, all the plant life, all the cultural sites, and all of the animals. And on page 53, it's got cougars and rattlesnakes, and there's an entry for Sasquatch. And what's astonishing is that that entry includes a map where there are historical sightings of Bigfoot, basically the habitat of Bigfoot as known by the US government way back in 1975. And what's really fun for me is that, we when we can, we map where the sightings are. And where we're hearing about them in our store, it matches where people have historically reported these sightings in the government maps. And so your notion that the government has is aware of a lot of these things, and for whatever reason has chosen not to tell us about it. I think I've found personal evidence of that myself, which is kind of interesting, and really, like I said, part of the fun of it for me is seeing where these different things match up. But the one cryptid that has really captivated my attention is this creature we call the Klickitat ape cat. And so we've had over 140 reports. Everyone describes a large, very muscular cat with a long tail and black fur. And so, according to mainstream science, there's no such thing as black cougars. So we both know that cougars live out here, but black cougars are not a thing. Apparently, there's something to do with their genetics that don't allow them to become black. And the only black big cats in North America are jaguars. But their range is 1,000 miles south of here at the Mexican border. So the question is why are people reporting seeing these big black cats? The reports say that the creature's always large, like bigger than the biggest cougar you've ever seen. But about 50% of those reports say that this creature is enormous, like 4 to 5 feet tall at the shoulder, between 800 and 1,300 pounds. That is bigger than a tiger, which is the largest living cat recognized by science on the planet. And so like we'll get reports that I was driving my Jeep and it jumped into the road and it was as tall as the hood of as my Jeep Rubicon, or it was as tall as my Ford Escort, or the woman saw it when she got out of a tent in the middle of the night to go pee, was standing on a log, and then she showed me a picture of that log, and there are five of her family members standing on the log. She said, yeah, the creature was as long as all five of those people standing next to each other. And so that's one component is this enormous size, but the reporting is varied in that there's, like I said, 50-50 on humongous versus just really big. Interestingly, there is a creature in the fossil record that matches a cat that big. The North American lion lived here during the Ice Age, lived in Washington, in fact, all over America. Its scientific name is the Panthera atrox. It's extremely well known to science because they found 80 skeletons in the La Brea Tar Pits down in Los Angeles. And so this is a creature that we know and understand. It matches the size and weight of the creature that's being reported here in the Gorge area. And interestingly, it is sexually dimorphic, which means the females are smaller than the males. And so if you had a natural population, you would expect the reports to be half large and half super large. And that's kind of what we're saying. I don't know if that's what we're dealing with here. There's some other explanations. A few more details about the reports we've had. We've had reports of it. So multiple senior law enforcement officials have told me they've seen it. They don't want to go on record for obvious reasons. We've had numerous reports of it with kittens. So it seems to be a reproducing population. And the earliest report we have is all the way back in 1968. And so this thing has been here for at least decades. And that's really interesting. And so of these 140 reports, about maybe 10% of them also include a description that its face looks something like a monkey. By that, they usually mean that its snout is shortened. It's like it got a flattened face. It's got intelligent ape-like eyes. And it is completely unafraid of humans. And sometimes the report said that it has no fur on its face. To be honest with you, I don't know what to make of those reports. It may be that we're dealing with multiple creatures or something that's shape-shifting, or it could be reporting anomalies. But just around the time I'll think, it's probably a reporting anomaly, I'll get a really credible witness, like a wild and firefighting crew chief will come in and tell me, yep, my whole team saw that thing on a 3-day deployment on our first day, and up actually near your stretch of the woods, and we wondered what we're going to do if it showed up in the camp. There have been no hostile encounters reported to me, so that's not to say that there haven't been any, it's just we haven't heard of any. And so it's a really interesting thing. There is a legend amongst Native Americans about a race of supernatural panther protector creatures. They are said, their name is the Mishepeshu. They are said to be underwater creatures. Basically, I think when Native Americans talk about like something came from the earth realm or the underwater realm or the sky realm, my interpretation is that they're talking about something that's got one foot in our physical world and one foot in the spirit world or some other dimension or whatever that is. And this creature is described as looking like a black panther with the face of a man, which I find really fascinating. Down at Horse Thief Lake, over, about 20 minutes east of us on 14, there's the petroglyph park they have there, and there is illustrations of strange cat, like a cat-like face with wavy water lines under its head on one of the petroglyphs there. It's a remarkable piece of art. So it may be that, these things have been here for thousands of years. I know that your logo has got a lion head in it, and again, I don't know. I won't profess to know. I know what all the things that you talk about, but my understanding is that you're in contact with a race of extraterrestrials that are feline humanoids, and so to me, that's an interesting connection, or there may be something to do with that. I have no idea. It's without having any data from you.
I'll tell you something. This is really interesting. So there's three different groups. There's Narsringa in ancient, yogic tradition. There's Narsringa and they're upright humanoid cat beings. They look like a cross between a human and a cat. And they can run on all fours too, just as easy. Or
We've had reports of that.
And also too, there's a lot of them up around the Mount Adams, the base of Mount Adams, and they're protecting the mountain. And so we had John Vivanco, a remote viewer, come up here.
I'm friends with John. Yeah.
And so they came up here and they did the remote viewing and they nailed it. They nailed everything and they said there's these cat-like human beings that are protecting the mountain. There's everything from angelic humans that are like Pleiadians on these ships. And so we actually had Ancient Aliens was out here and they just totally censored me out of it. But they were remote viewing these objects that flew over, huge lights, came over. and huge ships came over. And then so one came over, and they documented exactly when and everything. And then they had them remote view that one. And so they go, "Oh, well, that's all I'm seeing is technology, you know." And it turned out to show up on as it turned out to be a satellite. And so because we looked it up, you know, we have that heavens above sight. And so this next huge one came over, just powered up, lit the whole sky up, made a turn, and went around the corner. And they remote viewed that one. And they said there's angelic beings, like they're Pleiadians, basically. And they said these beings are so beautiful and very loving and everything. And so they were getting all this down to real detailed information that I've been talking about for years. And they totally validated everything down to the humanoid cat-like beings. And then there is a pan, upright type panther being that's a more of a six dimensional being. And then the seven dimensional ones are lion beings, and they're like 17 feet tall. And
Oh,
these
wow.
are like Sekhmet. The females are 14 feet tall. Now, if you go to Egypt, you'll see the statues of Sekhmet, and she's 14 feet tall. And that's
Wow.
actually how tall she actually is. And they were the protectors of the gods. And the little g gods were the pharaohs and all the other. Before the pharaohs were the ancient Lemurians, basically. And they were the ones that really referred to as the gods, you know, the little g gods. But it all ties together when you research this. But I mean, I've actually seen them face to face. I've seen all three different ones, and I work very closely with one named Bagheet, and she's a 5D one that appears here quite a bit. We have pictures of them. We've actually now we had a Taoist monk here named Khan, and he can see. He does dark retreats, you know, in a cave, and he'll go for like 21 days, nothing. And he sees all the dimensions and everything. And so he came here with his camera, and I would meditate, and I'd say, "Hey, can you get a picture of this being? They're here right now." And he'd see him, and he'd take a picture, and it'd show up on his camera, because
Wow.
he's in that same frequency. His frequency could actually take a picture of him. And so we have photographs of all these, you know, 7D beings down to 5D beings. They're actually ended up on the camera. Yeah, which is really
That's
out there.
incredible.
But the they it all ties in. Now this is going to get even weirder. So have you gotten pterodactyl reports?
We have gotten a report. So they refer to it as bat squatch, and
Yeah.
it's got like these wing, I guess bat-like wings. That's the
Uh-huh.
closest we've got a couple of reports like that. And so, you know, again, those are because we have so few of them, it's hard for me to, you know, have any kind of definitive statement. But there have been
Yeah.
some winged large creatures that we've heard about.
Yeah, we have one here, and quite a few of our volunteers have seen it, and it flies from the mountain, and one evening it landed in the tree right here at the ranch, and it was like Jurassic Park all over again. It was like,
Oh, wow.
and I walked up to it, and I go, "I gotta see this thing." I don't know what it was screeching in the tree. And so I went up there with I had night vision, and it wasn't really dark yet. I could see it pretty well, and I had a laser with me. And so I kind of lit it up with the laser, and it took off, and it flew over my head, and it flew right over the group here. I think Dave Schrader with After Dark was there. He saw some crazy things too with but the whole group saw it fly right over them, and then it flew to another tree and started screeching again. And it was crazy. And so I went, because we had horses down on the lower 30 down there. So we had horses down there, and so I went, you know, I'm not stupid. I grabbed my 357 just in case, you know, because I don't want to be eaten by a big old bird. And I walked down there with a big flashlight, and it kind of chased it. I really wanted to see it and try to film it, but I couldn't get footage of it.
You know,
But
I
police
remember.
officers have seen it. Police officers have seen it because a guy ran his car off the road, and he was in shock, and all he could say was pterodactyl. And the when the police officer came up behind him, he saw it flying away. And so there's pilots have seen them, you know, small craft have seen it. I guess they've
Wow.
seen it in Idaho too as well. And so I this okay, this is getting out there. There's a door that opens on the mountain. This huge light door opens, and we have it on film, and things fly out of it. And these things will come out, and they'll morph into three or four ships and then take off and go back to one and take off with jets chasing them and everything. We have all of it on film. And they said on the inner earth, on the interior, they've preserved all life from prehistoric times on. A lot of other mythological creatures are still alive, and they preserve them there. And they have another planet that's a whole zoo that they have these things on. But
Well, that's so fascinating that you say
my
that.
thing is, they open the door and stuff flies out. Things get out now and then. You know,
Well,
it's anyway, that's my theory.
I've been thinking that same thing because we have, like the stars of the cryptid world are like, Sasquatch and UFOs, and there's a river monster for a while named Colossal Claude. But then we get a lot of one-off reports of strange creatures that have no analog, and they seem like they're impossible creatures too. My daughter just, we were 4x4 and just north of Stevenson, like 5 minutes from our house, not even, when we first moved down here. And she said, "Oh, there's a snake." Like we had to pull off to the side to let another car pass. And she was looking out the window that no one else could really see out of. She said, "Oh, there's a snake out there. There's a snake out there." And she said, "Yeah, it's about 3 feet long and it's got frills on the side of its head." And the frills, and she described them with, the color of them. They went from red to yellow, and the snake was 3 feet long. And so she gave a really detailed description. She's probably 9 years old at the time. And I realized there is no snake in North America or anywhere in the world that's got frills on the side of its head. And so we get a large number of one-off anomalous creatures, these cryptids that don't have any other stories or lore associated with them. Like you don't hear about them from anyone else. And there's a ton of them here in the gorge area. And one of my theories is that this might be some kind of crossroads, or, we've had multiple stories of portals. A gentleman told me that he saw a portal this close to Goldendale. And at first he thought it was like casino lights, from an Indian casino. Got it closer. No, it was a full-on portal, and then a black cube flew out of it, and then flew down the gorge. And so we get these reports, and again, we always take them in with respect, and we don't never dismiss anything. But you compare that to your normal everyday experience, like, wow, there's nothing that matches up with this. And I find your experience and what's going on with your observations of Mount Adams to be really fascinating because, for your people, the people who come and visit, and you yourself, they're common experience. Like it's, and there are other people who live around that mountain that say that they see these things frequently as well. And I love it. I think it's just so amazing that we live in this place. I've talked with John, he's a friend of mine. We talked about that portal and that it's being guarded. And what an amazing, incredible tale. And to me, it brings me a lot of hope. Like there's like that's a story that I love to hear, that there is a dimension to a higher, or a portal to a higher dimension that's being protected by angelic beings. That sounds like a pretty good thing. It's interesting. You were talking about the feline humanoids. I'm not, you probably are aware, but there's this Hohenstein Stadel cave in Germany was where they found the oldest sculpture. It's a figurine about, I don't know, close to 18 inches tall. And it's 40,000 years old, but it is a figurine. It's called the Löwenmensch, the Lion Man, and it is a human, arms and legs standing upright with the head of a lion. When you look back at the earliest depictions of human thought, so that we have, as the cave paintings, 40,000 years old, Lascaux, France, Chauveau cave, these things. Every one of them is depicting impossible creatures, whether they're therianthropes, which are human-animal hybrids, or chimeras, which are combined animals. creatures that shouldn't exist are physically impossible to exist. Yet, the earliest records of human thought are showing these things as the some of the most important things that they wanted to communicate and preserve. And again, to me, that's why what you're doing is so fascinating, is that you have direct current contact with these types of unusual, quote unquote, impossible creatures. And I think it's just such a delicious mystery. I mean, from where I'm at and in my investigations, I don't have the same depth of personal experience that you do. I think it's just incredible and to me, hopeful and wondrous and inspiring. So,
They have all through ancient, see what happens, I'd have the experience and then I'd go research it. And then I'm trying to remember, there's Narsringa and then it's Nerysha. I think it is Nerysha. I'm probably saying it wrong. Are the 7 foot tall, I mean 17 foot tall lion beings, and there's a long history of that in the Vedics. Scriptures of these beings, and they are the protectors of the gods, and so it's really interesting. But the these all exist, and I find out with all of this stuff, they usually react to you how you greet them. Even with Bigfoot, if you go there with a bad attitude and armed and saying I'm going to hunt it, you're going to have a bad experience.
what do you think you're going to get? You know, I had a really.
And now, if you go there with respect and with an offering and bring a flute or something and play it, they're very curious. They'll come check it out. And you send them love, then you're going to get a good experience. At the worst, you're probably going to get a warning like, hey, this is our space. You know, they'll stomp and break some branches or whatever. And you kind of like say, sorry, I'm sorry, you apologize, and you get out of there. You leave them alone because they just want to be left alone, a lot of them, but some want to engage, some want to interact with this as well.
I was out by the big lava bed, which for your listeners, it's an area about the size of the island of Manhattan. It's west of your ranch. And basically 9,000 years ago, a volcano erupted and filled up a mountain valley with lava, which is filled with like lava tube caves and these micro canyons. It's a really difficult area to navigate in. As a soldier and a firefighter and a search and rescue EMT, I am professionally trained land navigator. It's something that I'm really good at, because if I'm not, people die. And so, and I've been doing it since I was a teenager, when I was 19 when I joined the army. And this landscape is one of the most difficult terrains I can possibly imagine navigating in. There are these, there are rocks, the razor sharp rocks. It goes on for miles. Compasses don't work there. Cell phones don't work there. Well, I was out there
And
and
they got the big crevices. You know, you're on top of a rock and you take about 10 steps and then you got like a 6 foot, 10 foot crevice, deep crevice, and you're going, oh, okay, I either got to jump this one. And then you might jump two or three and the next one's like a 12 foot or something. And you go, oh shit, I'm stuck. And you got to turn around and go back. You know, it's funny
And
how, yeah, you just can't get through that stuff.
for your listeners, like it is a almost a some places it almost looks like the moon. Other places there are these forests covered with moss, and it's really quiet out there because the way the rocks are all jumbled, they eat the sound just from a acoustics physics kind of perspective. And you can drive along the edge of it. And so I had my rig and I parked it and I walked in about 100 yards and I was flying my drone up and down this trench. And the drone hit a tree branch at the south end of the trench. And so I went and collected it up. And then I walked through the trench about 100 yards. And then I took a 90-degree turn, basically west. And I went what I thought was another 500 yards deeper into this lava bed. And just to get a sense of the scale, like nobody goes in there. The local hunters avoid it. It's vast. Like you could hide nine Ewok villages of Sasquatches in there and no one would ever know, because there are no trails that go through there. And so I thought that I was, probably 600 or 700 yards away from where I had started. And I found another really interesting trench. And so I pulled out my drone and was flying my drone. And then it was like I was waking up from a dream. I realized, oh my God, I am back where I started, like where I had originally crashed the drone, and I have no conscious memory of how I got here, right? And at first, like for anyone else, getting lost in the woods is one thing, and getting lost in this lava bed is easily conceivable. But for me, who's had decades of professional experience, like I don't remember the last time I was lost in the woods. It really threw me for a loop. I was like, what just happened to me? Like, I have no idea how I got here. And for most people, like when you see a person's face and then you walked away for 15 minutes, you would recognize that person. Well, that's what deranged features are like for me. Like, I am really attuned to it. And when you've been doing professional land navigation, there's a dozen things that are going on in the back of your mind as you're traveling through any area. Like, you're keeping a pace count, you're keeping track of the sun, you're placing landmarks. There's a whole bunch of basically subroutines that you do so you don't get lost. And I was doing all those things, and then I found myself back where I had started, no knowledge of how I got there, completely flamboozled. And I thought, wow, my first thought was, what the heck? And then I thought, if something didn't want me to go deeper into the lava bed that day, this was the most benevolent way to bump me back to start. And the only reason why I even recognized it was I looked over my shoulder and I saw my car 100 yards, outside of the lava bed. And there was a, for me, the experience was one of benevolence. Like, we don't want you here right now. We're not going to mess with you or scare you or do anything to harm you. In fact, we're going to put you in a place where you can safely get back and see, your car and be in a place. And I thought, wow, like, and we've had many, many reports of people having that experience of traveling through a wilderness area out here in the gorge. And they suddenly, like maybe they were 2 hours away from their car and they come to their senses and they're 5 minutes from their car. And that seems to happen a lot out here. And
Yeah, I can explain that, how that
oh,
works,
I'd love
but
to hear about it.
we're at the end of the hour, unfortunately. I can try to do it really quick, but I'm definitely going to have you back on again. We'll go deeper into that. But they can bilocate you. You could be walking and they could beam you up and then half stride. And they'll put you back. You could be gone 2 weeks, and they'll put you back in your body, and you'll finish your step, and then you just go, wait a second, what just happened? You'll feel a little off, like something happened. You won't know what it was. And they have that ability. So they're masters of time, distance, and space, and they can bilocate you wherever they want, you and your vehicle. It doesn't matter. And all you do is you have a little phase out, like a little, you kind of get a little spacey. And then all of a sudden you find yourself in a different place and you go, what just happened? But they've done that to me so many times. I just kind of think it's funny.
But
But we've
that's
got to quit. Unfortunately, we hit the end of the hour, but we're out of time. But I'm going to have you back on the show and we'll go deeper into this and more of the experiences. Yeah, it's great having you on the show.
that was my
Great finally
pleasure.
meeting you. And we'll definitely have you back on and we'll talk more about it.
Sounds great. It was a pleasure
But
meeting you and speaking with you today.
we're totally out of time, unfortunately. So anyway, keep up the great work, and thanks everybody for listening. I know we've gone a little bit over. Just keep an open mind, loving heart, pure intent, and you'll get through these times. And just start being kind to each other and the planet, and we'll make it through. So have a great evening and good night.
Come join us and start your free trial today. Watch our weekly podcast, As You Wish Talk Radio, with James Gilliland every Saturday, or catch up on past shows. Watch Skywatch videos of UFOs, orbs, and much more. You can also learn about self-mastering, herbalism, and how to ground and shield yourself from negative unseen influences through our many wonderful workshops. So what are you waiting for? Come join the fun. We're waiting for you. And don't forget to visit our wonderful merch store and show your support today.